Bibles, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I want to remind you that on Saturday from 9 to 11 is prayer time. Every Saturday. You want to see a strong church, just look at the prayer time. The Bible reads in verse number 1, Joshua 1 and 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto which I give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness to the Lebanon, even unto the great river and the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and unto me, great sea toward the going down of the sun." And I want to continue to talk about what we were talking about last week, about the now. Because we're living in the now. And I realize here that as most of you know this story, that when Moses died, God came to Joshua and he said, "Now arise." Because I see so many times that we know God has called us to great things. We know that God wants us to do something different, but we never actually do it. We don't do it now. When you press yourself into the now, then God is able to bring his provision into a reality. But God's provision can never come to a reality without a now people. If you're waiting on God to bless you, if you're saying, you know, "I don't know how I'm going to do it," and you're bathing yourself in a call, and you're not allowing God to build what he wants to build inside of you. You know why most people don't do that, believers? It's because we don't seize the moment of the now. Joshua, now. In other words, I don't have time for you to go around the mulberry bush and keep talking about you're not ready. The people need to go over. I'm speaking to you. Though I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, but I need a now generation that will begin to go into what God wants them to go into. Are you here with me? So again, I want to just share with you about the now. The now. Because if you don't know about the now, you're going to be waiting just to make it to heaven. If you don't know about the now, you're going to take what the world give you to get to heaven to find out Jesus had all this stuff for you. But because you didn't take part in the now. You know, one thing about the false church is that they don't know anything about the now. The false church is in a posture where they think they're waiting on God. They look at the communities and they say, "Oh, we can't do nothing but one word, prayer." Prayer becomes a religion because they're not in the now. You know, when you're in the now, you say, "There's something we can do today." We don't have to sit back and let devils take over and just let them play. No, when God people rise up, devils moves out and God's interventions come in. How can that happen if the now is not seized? If we just waiting on stuff. Most churches, we wait. We just waiting. Waiting on God to bless us. Waiting on a deliverance. Jesus is not going to do anything else. When he sent his son, he left orders. But unless you step into the now, you're going to be left out. You're going to get a part of what the devil is doing in the world system of just, oh, I'll wait on the blessing. You'll go on your job and you'll let the devil environment rule you because you're not in the now. You'll let the world tell you that you're a minority when God made the heavens and the earth. You'll go to work and you'll let all your circumstances get the best of you, even though Jesus said that you're a world overcomer. Even though you're more than a conqueror, the world will get the best of you. You know why? Because your posture is, I'm waiting. You're not in the now. Today you hear the voice of God. Hearken not your heart. You don't get saved and tell people, you know, I remember in the Holiness Church, you had to tarry. What happened if something happened? You can't wait till the next day. That's man's appointment. You don't tarry. No, that's because that's the way you program your mind to get it. And yes, when you tarry, some of them did get it. They got the Holy Ghost, whatever they want to say. But all the day you call on Jesus, that's all you got to do. All this man stuff, you know why? Because it doesn't. Human nature is you got to pay a price when Jesus has already paid the price. If you don't get into the now, you get locked up into this world system. The system of this world will have you. You'll be going to work Monday through Friday, and you thinking you're getting ahead just because you got money. No direction. No sense of what God is doing in the earth, but you getting ahead because you're getting money. It's a trick. But it's only a trick for people that are not in the now. See, when you're in the now, you know God is moving. God is active. He's moving all in the earth. You're not focused on what the enemy is doing, but you're current, Frankie, with what God is doing. You don't look at the economy and CNN and let them dictate to us how things are. We look to the hills. We got a prophetic word. God is speaking to us. But the question is, which voice are you listening to? Whose report will you believe? If you don't begin to grab a hold of what God is doing on the inside of you, you're not going to be able to take it over. Are you with me? So you have to realize that the now is something, as God told Joshua, now. You know, anytime God slip you and push you into the now, you always feel like you're not ready. Because God is always going to take you to a place where you're solely dependent upon Him. But most believers don't do that. We want 50 us, 50 God. And we want to spice God on top of what we're doing. Only to find out that after years or months, it crashes. Because God is doing a shaking. And anything that's not like Him, even in the church, it won't last. It won't last. Nothing will last. Why? Because as the shaking begins to happen, if you don't have God on the inside of you, if Christ didn't build it, you're going to be in the church, singing on the choir, preaching, at the door, and nothing will be happening. You won't be able to see anything. Because the shaking is not based off what church you go to. It's based off what you're building on. On Christ, the solid rock, we'll stand. Everything else is sinking sand. That's why I'm telling y'all, we got to build accurately according to the patterns of God. Not the patterns of ministry. Not the most popular thing. What is God saying? Now you see why Noah could build the ark in the middle of the summer when everybody laughing at him. Why? Because he was hearing what God was saying. It may have looked funny for a little while, but when the drowning began to happen, when the rain started, look who was laughing. If you don't build it upon God, then God cannot begin to validate what you're doing. You can come to Impact Church. You can go to Jesus Christ Church. You can go to any church, but what are you building upon? On Christ, you got to build. Are you here with me? You got to build on the revelation that God is giving you for your life. You got to take the Holy Spirit. You got to take the written word. You got to take government that's in the body of Christ. You got to take the ministry gifts that God has sent your way. And you got to begin to form what God wants you and where he wants you to go. You can't take these things lightly. That's why when you come to church, it's not, oh, I made it out tonight. No, I got to go and get fed. It's not a matter of you coming here or not coming. It's the matter of you being fed. What are you eating from? The question ain't why you don't come to church. It's what's distracting you from your feeding time. Because that's your God. That's what's leading you. Has nothing to do about how many times you come to church. It's about what happens when you get to church. The content. The building. Is your mind changing? Are you becoming like Christ? See, if you're not in the now, you won't do that. You'll be sitting there saying, well, I've been a member of this church for so long. Your loyalty is to Christ. There's so many churches that's so backwards now, and people still go. Dead. And they still go. They still darken the doorstep. They still think they're loyal to a false person. No God. But they still go there. Eating from the table of a man. Believing like a man. Trusting in man. All I'm telling you is that thing gonna crack one day. And most of the church, you're gonna see them running just like people in the world. You're gonna look and say, well, I thought this was the mega church. I thought they got a popular name. That stuff don't mean nothing. If this stuff is not built on God, if it's not built on Christ, that don't mean every big church is false. I didn't say that. But what am I telling you? When the people are coming and they're still being fed milk, you cannot put babies in a war. So when the war starts, these babies, you cannot put them in war. They're not going to last. Because they're not in the now. That's why you got to be in the now. Now, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, take the people over. And that's what I believe God is telling us. Arise, take the people over. Arise, step into your rim. Arise, stop letting the world system in the world tell you to stop letting your past dictate to you what you are. Arise. Jesus has already died on the cross. And we're sitting there wrestling with things on our job that God telling you got to step over. Stop letting people tell you. Some of y'all get goosebumps when people tell you, you know, you've been a blessing to them. I didn't come to bless you. Devils hide. Listen, devils come now in sheep clothing. They'll say the right things. Most of y'all know people right now, they're so sweet, but they got demonic oppression behind them. They know how to say everything right. Everything's sweet, but behind us, that same stubborn, rebellious spirit that's hitting your spirit. And you sitting there like, oh, well, it was a blessing. I'm going to visit your church. Anytime somebody tell you that, I want to visit. We don't looking for visitors. We're looking for people who looking for us. People who saying, God led me here. God put me here. God is leading me here. We don't want just people coming in and coming out saying, oh, this was a nice experience. You can't build with people like that. It's okay if it happens in church. We know that. I'm not dismaying that. I'm just saying we're looking for soldiers. We're looking for people who say, you know what? We're ready to arise and go forward. Not have counseling all year long trying to get you. No, that's your wife. Get before God and get her right. I can't keep talking to you about the same thing over and over and over again. You're not doing it. No, you got to do it. I don't live with her. You better go to God for her. Pray. Seek the Lord. See, the false church want to get busy with stuff. We got all these outreaches going. Outreaches are good. But the church, we ought to be distributing Christ. Not just distributing hot dogs, Keisha. Not just distributing food. Not just distributing clothes. I mean, anybody can do that. And yes, the church will do that. We've done it. We'll do it. But that's not our, that's just a service to get into the hearts of people. Most dead churches are doing that and they think that's the stopping ground. It's more to it than that. Any entity without Christ can give out food. But there's only one entity that can give Christ, and that's Christians. There's only one person that can, one entity that can begin to give people what the world don't have, and it's believers. So that's our focus. If you don't get into the now, you'll be sitting there waiting, hoping, wondering. Y'all know we don't have to hope and wonder. You know, some of us, we go around, we've been contaminated by the false church so much, guess what? We act like we don't even know God. We go like we start, is this God? Is this Him? You know God. You in the will of God. Most of y'all have to spend so much time telling y'all, too much pressure on yourself. Just relax. You left the dead church. You're here. You're in the will of God. Just relax. Keep living. You're doing it. You're doing it. Stop putting all this pressure. Why? Because the false church had a righteous standing for you. You had to sing the right song to feel anointed. You had to be anointed in a certain way. If you weren't a preacher or a singer, then something was wrong. You had to be involved in the sense of being a leader of something. See, the real church is not going to be known, not even based off the anointing. We'll be based off our stature in God. Who you are is how I deal with my life. Not based off how much times God come in His presence. No, I live in His presence. When I speak His word, things are going to happen. Why? Because my stature. See, you don't have to live in and out. That's why God told Joshua, He said, arise now and go forth. Stop dealing with your mind when it comes to who you are. Settle some things. If you don't settle some things, you'll go through life. You know how many people in the false church or in churches, they hide behind self-esteem issues. And they try to make it spiritual. And they come up with all these philosophies because it's spiritual. No, you just don't believe in yourself. You don't believe in yourself. God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. And you think it's humble for you to say, well, Lord, if you just let me get a seat on the rooftop. That ain't humble. That's insulting when Jesus died and gave us His best so we can have the best. And here you saying you just want the crumbs. You can't do that. God is not going to allow that to happen. Are you with me? So you got to begin to allow Christ as Jesus begin to form in you. You got to say, you know what? The now generation, you got to step up and begin to go forward. Are you with me? So again, I want to give you a few things that if you're going to step into the now, you got to begin to change. Are you with me? The first thing is this. If you're going to step into the now, you got to be willing to renew your thinking. Willing. Because the now is going to put you, it's like taking you from the back, putting you at the front. And if you don't change your thinking, you're going to try to bring the back mentality to the front. And that's what most of us, that's what we struggle at. Most of you. You don't want to go to your job and know that you are the VIP because you're carrying Christ. You'd rather take a second hand spiritually. You don't want to fight through anything. Most of us, we go in our job, we just like everybody else. Give me the check, I'm ready to go. You don't go and say, you know what, God, you're going to use me. You don't do that. Because the atmosphere may be different. Might be a different ethnic group. and you don't feel comfortable. Might be people that on a different scale financially. So guess what? You sideline yourself. Because you're thinking, oh, they won't listen to me. You don't know who will listen to me. You just rule them out because of your thinking. Oh, I can't, you know. And as soon as somebody says something on the job, well, you know, you can't mix religion. Whatever. I can say this is free speech. You curse, I can say what I need to say. Nobody goes and go off into this religious thing when people start cursing. You offend. Nobody asks who offends the Christian. But as soon as a Christian talk, we offend other people. There's rights behind that. But some of y'all won't challenge that. Because y'all don't want to feel awkward. In other words, we don't want to feel the way Jesus felt. We'd rather get into a false place of reality with people. And most Christians think you're doing good because everybody's happy about your life. Oh, yeah, she'll pray for you. What a need to pray for devils. If you know people living in sin and you praying for them, how are they going to get delivered from? They need to get born again. But some of y'all are just so happy to pray. Just pray. Oh, yeah, you pray. Even if a healing come forth, so what? True deliverance is when the deliverer moves in. You're not looking for this false thing where it's just temporarily. Yeah, you know, you see a little movement from God. No, we came to bring the noise. We came to say God is with us. We didn't come to say, you know, this little pity pat, let's work. Jesus said, no, you better get with God or you're going to get left. See, when you know what God is doing, you can speak like that. You don't go at it no casual, like, well, you know, let's see if they'll receive it. Don't matter whether they receive it or not. They don't have to receive it. You're looking at their reaction to dictate to you. Don't be concerned about that. Whether they get mad or not. Don't you know they got upset at Jesus? And you're trying to make people like you. That ain't gonna happen. Don't be concerned about whether they like you. You speak the word. You do it in love. Are you with me? But if you don't change your thinking, it'll stop you. Are you with me? So you got to change your thinking. Let me give you another thing. If you're going to do as Joshua did when God came and spoke to him and said, arise now and go. Another thing you got to do is you got to begin to surround yourself with a strong team. And you do that by getting around people that are strong. And I've been telling y'all this for at least a year or two. Most of y'all around dead people. You're around people that's taking from you more than building you. And you continue to do it. I'm not talking about on the job. I'm talking about people in your casual time. You still got people around you spiritually, they're not charging you. But you still hang out with them. Anytime you get up and try to step up to go somewhere, the enemy will grab you because of your association. He can use people around you to stop you. Sometimes it's a cousin. Sometimes it could be an uncle, your mama, your dad. It doesn't matter who. Your co-workers, you can't let people in your circle if they don't earn a right to be there. It's like those are your board members for your destiny. Some of y'all still let people in there. Oh, it's all right. You'll be amazed if you get around people that'll hold you accountable, what that'll do for you spiritually. It'll make you go forward like fast. It's an acceleration. When they talk to you on the phone, they talk spiritual and they say, well, didn't you say you were going to do this? Why you don't do this? They're keeping you accountable to the prophetic destiny. Not just a natural job, but where God is. Well, it seems like you haven't done nothing all week. Didn't you say to God, you know, you're going to spend some time in prayer and fasting? What happened? You ought to get upset. when you ain't done it. And they holding it to you. You ought to, but most of us, we don't like, we run from that. And we go right back into the false church. Well, I just want to be a blessing to the church. Years go by, you never work on the things that are going to take you forward. So you get comfortable. So now you don't want a church like ours that's confronting. You want to go somewhere where you can fit in. Where they don't chastise, they don't tell you nothing wrong. Just tell you to love the Lord. Lift your hand and love the Lord. They don't sit you down and say, no, you need to chill out. You need to get these things. Why? Because as long as there's no personal development, God will always be limited in your life. You can do ministry, you can function, you can have your business, but if there's no inner strength, if your spirit man is not growing, you're not going to go where God wants you to go. It comes through your spirit man growing, through the word of God, through you enlarging your capacity for Christ, you hearing the preceding noun word, all of that is what causes you to go forward. Are you with me? So you got to make sure you change your association for many of you. Hang out with dead people, you dead. You don't change it, and guess what? We're coming into a day now where even anybody will be able to tell. They can look. They'll know whether you've been with God or you've been with the world because of the fruit you're bearing. See, only the false church, you know, they're not interested in fruit. They into good times. They into entertaining, theatrical performances. They into you feeling good. How many times you've been to church and you ask somebody, how was church, Charlie? And they can't tell you what the word was. They can't tell you nothing. All they can say is it was good. How good could it be if you don't remember it to apply it to your life? All it says, oh, I can't remember, but it was good. Does that sound familiar? Rare preach today. And then you let them go through their spill and then say, what was it about? They can't even remember. You know why? Because their thinking has not changed, and a lot of times when you get around the wrong type of people, you end up going to churches like that. You go places, they don't keep you accountable. You know why? Most of our churches, you can come in, sit down, live your life. Let me tell you how you can tell a church is false, is when you can take their teaching, whoever's teaching, and put it in your life without judging your motives. You just take it, a teaching on finances, and just put it. You can add it to your life. Don't worry about the motive. Because you can take it and add it to what you're doing. You can take it and put it with your God and keep doing it. Finances. Never mind what God is doing. But I could just take it, use it. Never mind. A lesson on faith or peace. I take it. It don't convict you. Because it's like, oh, this is good. I need that. You take it, it doesn't convict your spirit, you just put it in, and you keep on walking. Never judge that you're not living for God, you're not going the way God. It never tells you to sacrifice nothing. It's always you adding something. You adding something to your mess. Because you live in your life, you serving your God, and some of the gospel preachers, they're giving you stuff to add to your own wrong motives. That's why you can be rebellious and still sit in some of the churches. You can be practicing witchcraft, controlling, and you can still sit in the church because they're teaching man's doctrine. Those are doctrines of devil that have taken and leaked out Christ. And man is getting exalted. That's why they can talk about commitment and loyalty, all these things over and over again. Why? Because after Christ has left the building, there's only one way you trap keep people mentally. They got to get you mentally. See, when you're around the right kind of people, they check you in the spirit. They check you spiritually, like, hold up, that don't sound like God. They're not just telling you, because see, sometimes people can come around and they can have all kind of business plans. Well, if I did this and I network with this, if I did this and I do this, and then I know Bill Gates and then I know these people and I'm reading this book and I'm doing, see, all that is, well, you got to have some discernment nowadays. You got to be able to tell something ain't right. That looks good, but there's a wolf in those sheep clothing there. Because anything that will stop you, anything, any preacher, any person, any job, anything that will stop you from manifesting Christ in your flesh is of the devil. Anything. If you go to church and it stop you from becoming like Christ, is used of the devil. Anybody that stop you and say, oh, don't worry, just keep on. When you know God is pressing you to go forward and pressing you to come out of your norm and overriding the Holy Spirit convicting you because nobody else hears it. Anything like that is of the Antichrist. It's working against God. And you can go to church now and the church works against him. You know why? Because it starts with you being around the wrong people. You're around these word of faith people. Talking faith, they glad because they got popular people coming to their church. How can you be popular in the kingdom? There is no popularity. There's no big I's and little U's. Are y'all with me? Think about it. God is the king. There is no little preacher. Just because you got more members and all this stuff, that doesn't mean anything to God. God is after becoming like him. He's not into how big your church is. These are just functions. He's after your heart. He's after a relationship with you. But when you eat man's doctrine, you know what happens? You start wanting to make your pastor a god. He's God now. Y'all think I got something special. You think I got some way of doing things that you can't do. You can call on God. The ministry gifts are here to bring corporate movement and to shape and form Christ in your life. But I'm still not God. Are you with me? So again, you got to realize that if you're going to grow and come into the now, you cannot be around the wrong types of people. When you get around people, Denise, it ought to be people you're mentoring and people that you're getting something from. And I encourage everybody, don't just sit at somebody's feet. Get somebody you can pour something into. That's a part of your growth. Pastor somebody, love on somebody. I'm telling you, that's how you do. You receive, but then you give. So that you can affect another generation of people. Don't just say, oh, I'm getting this. Who are you releasing that to? Who's coming for dinner for you at your house? Who are you shaping their lives spiritually? Who's looking up to you to see more God in you? Or are you just going to work, trying to make it? Glad to be alive. Happy in Jesus, not even blessing. You can take somebody. Grab somebody. Grab some little kid or grab somebody and begin to shape their lives. Mentor somebody. You don't need a ministry to do that. Just do it. False church, they want to, you know, I remember one friend we had, you know, he was a minister. And man, two people in the same week asked him to come to the church. And all of a sudden, you call his voicemail. He international now. You've reached the voicemail of international profound speaker. He going off into that. Why? Because you get caught up. And I told you on Wednesday, the false church will get wrapped up in the movement of God and they'll leave God. See, the movement of God is stuff like healings break out, Mary Ellie. Miracles. But when those things break out, it's not for us to step out of God and go with the movement. Because that's just a reaction to God. God wants us to love him with all our hearts. Regardless of what he does through us, he wants to keep living in us. Are you with me? That's how you sustain a move of God. Most of these men, what happened in Pensacola months ago, has died out. You know why? Because men begin to step in. They either want to make money off of it or they want to manipulate the people. Just let God move. Or they want to control people. When God begin to break out, people will just, it'll be spontaneous. There's no church building that can hold it. A movement cannot be held in a building. Only when man tries to control it does he bring it under a four wall church. A movement won't be held to a one person, or you know that God is about to leave the building. It'll break out. And everybody, it'll be contagious. Just like a disease, it'll just keep going. People will keep getting it. Are you with me? But see, if you're around the wrong people, you won't see that. You just want to do ministry and go out. You can't do that, y'all. We got to be careful. If you're going to be in the now like Joshua and step into the now, you got to make sure who's around you are people that can build you. Because most of y'all don't hear no enough. You know, somebody tell you no, then you think it's somebody trying to hurt you. You can't come to church and then you know everything. I don't like people that come to the office and then God spoke to them. Yeah, I know, but we got to figure out how this going to work. If God put me here in your life and you know everything, then why are you here? If you know it, then why you come to me? Sometimes people have different motives. They come to get you to bless their mess. You have to come and say, well, God, whatever I got to do, I'm willing to do it. Lord, I'm teachable. Show me about this ministry. I feel like something is going on, but I come to you, the man of God, to help me so that I don't miss God. Because it's bigger than just my individual expression. It's about a corporate movement. They'll know us by how we love one another, not by you going out here ministering in song to some hole-in-the-wall church. Not by you going out here setting up a ministry and you getting active. That's not what changes the world. Don't y'all know people been doing that? Feeding the poor. The list for the food bank is thick in Charleston. Hundreds of people got food bank. And churches figure they still want to do. Just send them over there. But we don't think like that. Why? Because we think if God use us, you ain't no better. You live today and you die tomorrow. When you think like we so much, sometimes the call of God that he has on your life, you focus on the divinity of it instead of the practicality of working it out. He showed you what you're going to become, but still you got to become it. You got to grow. You just don't sit there and be, well, I had a dream. You know how many people had dreams and visions? You know how many people saw God? But we think, oh, it's us. You know, there are people in third world countries that vision and prophecy is just by language. But in America, when we prophesy, boy, you got to get a ministry now. Because you told somebody, and I told Aaron, that his wife was going to come, and she was going to have a green shirt on. Now all of a sudden, I need to set up ministry. No. God just used you. How many know God can use anybody? And we're excited about it. It's nothing like it. You know, nobody's saying don't get excited. But you got to put things in perspective. When you got right association around you, guess what? You do that. You put things in perspective. Are you with me? Let me give you a few things that if you're going to stay in the now that you got to do. And we talked about some of this last week, but I wanted to just reiterate it because I didn't really give all that I wanted. If you're going to be in the now generation, you got to commit to God forming you. We said this on last week. You got to commit to God forming you. God has to form you. You can't get formed in God if he's not forming you. You got to stop letting the world and other people form you. Stop it. God's going to form you. You know, when I talk to y'all and I look at y'all background of where y'all come through, some of y'all still don't believe that God had his hand on you even before you were saved. He was forming you the way he wanted. Didn't he tell Jeremiah when you was in your mother's womb? He wasn't saved. God was still forming you. He was doing something. That's why everything you went through, why you think you didn't have two parents in the house? Because God knew there would be a generation of fatherless people.
But God could form you. He could form you to be a representation. You could be a Moses to the people. But you sitting there just, well, I didn't have this. Talk about what you didn't have. You know the story of the lady that came and kept saying, you know, when I was at 7 years old, I almost had depression. Then she almost committed suicide and everything. She came talking like that. And the preacher looked at her and said, you know what? Instead of you looking at it like that, you ought to say, you know what? You really got a spirit of breakthrough because you lived through depression at 7. And then when you got a teenager, you still made it through when you wanted to kill yourself. But somehow God kept you. So really, you got a deliverance, powerful spirit, because you can make it through all odds. But if you're looking at it like, well, what I gone through, your past will rob you. Because you limit and you cause your identity to be in your past. You know, you can realign your feelings according to what you believe instead of your past. You can do that. You've been abused, neglected, raped, molested, whatever it may have been. You can get over these things. Why? Because God is a healer. He don't just heal the small things. But you believe the world when they tell you that that's all you can be and that you're limited because you don't have a degree and your mama didn't send you to college, so you're limited. See, you believe that. You allow your culture to shape your thinking. Your thinking is what blocks God out. All you need is belief. Are you with me? You know, last night I was sitting with the children and watching, what's the name of the movie? Kung Fu Panda, and I never had watched it before, and I was watching it, and I watched that big old panda. But you know what? It was true. It's what you believe. It's all about what you believe. Y'all saw the movie? You remember when he said noodles, and he was trying to find the secret recipe, and he said, it ain't really nothing. It's just what people believe it is. And that's how it is. It's reality. You got it. Some of y'all don't believe that. You don't believe you're more than a conqueror. Soon as you hear noise, news coming from a source that's of the devil, you believe it. You don't believe you're no world overcome. You're still letting them stamp you what you've been brought up in the project. So what? My residency is not based off my geographic location. It's in the kingdom. That's why we have to have the adoption spirit where we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, we are adopted into the family. Stop going by your old cultural backgrounds alone. We are what we are by the blood of Jesus, by the grace of God, not based on the grace of black culture or white or Hispanic. We are what we are by the grace of God. But see, we won't go there. If you're not allowing God to form himself in, you know, I talk to people all the time and people don't believe. When you don't believe, things won't happen. Are you with me? Let me give you one more thing that you got to do. Another thing that you've got to do is you got to make sure that you're submitting to authority. And most people don't do this in the church. Authority don't mean that you come to me and you tell me that, Pastor, you know, you spill your guts with all your sins and all that. Authority means there's somebody that you're allowing to speak into your life and according to where you're going. You're not going to get there no other way now. So you can sit there and say, well, I know, you know, I'm a man. I don't need no man telling me what to do and all that. It don't work like that. If you're not teachable, you're not humble, nobody gonna be like that with you. A man that's under authority can declare and decree that he can be somebody that's trusted. But when you out there with no accountability, just out there doing your own thing, thinking that God's gonna bless it, that ain't how it works. It won't work. That's why some of y'all friends, y'all can go ahead and tell them it won't work. Because God spoke to us at the beginning of last year and said that even the people the false churches will not be able to captivate the crowds no more. If you go look at these churches, people are getting tired of it now. They're not going over there no more to these people. They're realizing stuff. These false people ain't even able to captivate the crowds. You're not going to be able to gather people with no substance. Because God sovereignly is beginning to speak to people. He's going out beyond the walls of the church. And now he's creating little churches within on the job. And people like yourself who are ministering to other people with the spirit of truth. And people are realizing this ain't work. Prosperity has been 7 years. I still ain't got no money. But he getting richer. He got more stuff. I ain't got nothing though. And I'm this close to him. That's like the disciples not having anything. That's an indictment on the leader. For people to be that close and struggling. Because that means you haven't taught. You haven't duplicated yourself. Are you with me? So again, you got to make sure, because if you don't see it like that, if you're not a person under authority, nobody going to listen to you. You ought to have that. You know, and I tell you, when we go to Malaysia and I with Dr. David, it's no, you know, I don't want him, you know, I'm just myself with him. I'm just me. Why? Because you got to be in submission. I can't tell him if he tells me, you know, Brad, I think you should start your church over here. Then he's the person in authority. You can't start trying to work it out. Well, he missing it. He don't know. You don't need to sit with people you don't trust. If you don't trust them, go find somebody you do. But don't sit with people you don't trust, because it'll hurt your growth. And you'll be sitting there trying to make them be something that they're not. It doesn't work like that. And a lot of times, if you don't submit yourself, you'll have a problem with people submitting to you. Your children won't, because you have a rebellious spirit. You don't want to listen. You don't want to tell nobody. You know everything. It's all it is spirits. It's in the church. You know everything. You know how you want to know somebody rebellious? It's when you talk about something, they flare up. They don't want to talk about it because it's sensitive. In the prison, them men like that. You start talking about beating their wives and stuff, they get all quiet. Some of them move. You know, every time I get in there, sometimes I tell them, I say, now, you know, some of y'all still smoking too. And I stop for about 10 seconds. I say, now if something came to your head and say, don't tell them you smoke, that's a devil. Don't tell them you smoke. Those are devils. Why? Because here I am trying to free you. And you trying to stay in that. They start talking. They tell you, oh, hide it. That means you want it. If I get up here and start declaring, or your friend, whoever, I see in the name of Jesus that you need to stop doing this, and then you start bucking again. No, that's not you defending it. That means that you are dealing, and you want that. That's what you want. You want to keep that devil. I tell them, boy, I say, who said, which, how many devils in here said, don't tell them you smoke? And they'll start laughing. Say, that's because y'all want to keep those devils. Y'all don't want to get rid of those. Rebellion and witchcraft is the same way. It's nice. People come out. You can't tell those spirits until something happened. Then they get nasty. Why? Because rebellious is hidden. It's hidden on top. Nice people. But in the church, you can't tell them what to do. They know everything. Y'all, we don't want that. Are you with me? Be a person under authority. You know, that's why I don't want you coming to church here and thinking you're going to impress me. If Charlie comes tomorrow and he, on his job, he becomes a millionaire, then he's a millionaire. But that ain't going to change me with him. I'm not going to say, let me hold something. Why? Because I'm going to be like, Charlie, this is my son. I don't care. It doesn't matter. He doesn't move me by his money. He doesn't move me by how much he messes up. Why? Just like Jesus for us. My love for him is not predicated on what he do. It's predicated on who he is. That's how you have to love people. not on what they do. It's on who they are. Now, that don't mean he may do everything right, but what it means is that's my stance with him. I don't mean I'll go and run and do anything for him that is not right in the sight of God, but my stance is I love everybody. God loves all of us. But see, when you're not in authority, you're always limited. Don't you know your prayers can be hindered because of how much authority you're sitting in? There's certain things in your lives that'll flow simply because you're in authority here. So Lisa and I can pray and things happen because of the authority. But then there's some of y'all that still got hidden lives. So therefore, nobody can do nothing there. The enemy still has access there. And it ain't got nothing to do with you telling and spilling your guts, but it's your mind, it's your heart. I can't teach that. I can't show you how to do that. But you got to say, Lord, this is the house that you sent me. This is my father. This is who I'm going to feed off. This is the template that God is using to help me get to where God wants you to go. This is the man that God is using to help, because everything that God, if you're a true son or daughter of mine, what's in your heart is already in mine. Because the Father, you'll walk out what's in my heart. But if it's not like that, it's because you rebel. You still got areas. I ain't going to say nothing. You laughing. You laughing too then. Oh, okay. You know? So again, you still got ears. And how many know? Let me show y'all how to be submissive. Because submissive is not mean you give and tell everything and do anything. That's not that. It simply means that I can speak into your life. Don't you know sometime over the pulpit I do most of it? So it doesn't mean that you got to sit down and spill your guts like you at Mass. You know, like the Catholics do. I don't want to know all that, but I want to make sure that you're correcting. If there's a door and you got a problem drinking, then I want to make sure that door is closed. Because you can't get to where God wants you to go if you go there. If you got a problem with anger and you're still trying to hide it, go ahead. I can't make you, but if you let me, I can help you so you can get there. Because other than that, you're going to be like that hamster. And that's what will happen. That's why the church don't mature. Then there are areas that you don't see. Some of y'all come out of things and I share things with you and you'll say, oh, I never looked at it like that. And that's why we're here. I never saw it like that. Pastor, I looked at it from just you and I, but I see you got everybody. So I need to change my thinking with that. And it's okay. We all family. But I need to know you in submission. Because if you're not, eventually you're going to do your own thing. Your motives will come out. And you'll end up going off. You know, you give people with wrong motives or rebellious, you give them a little bit of power. Boom, they're gone. That's why you see people splitting churches. Most of the time it's because that leader is so weak. He's a weak leader. He don't know how to address stuff. You see spirits going on, and this ain't the case, but if Aaron got a spirit of control, I'm not putting him in power, and I'm going to let him know, no, man, you, God going to use you, but Aaron, you too power happy. We got to deal with Aaron first. I said, God going to use you, but most leaders won't tell him that. They'll let him just fumble into something. No, you too prideful, man. You got a little bit too, because people, sometimes you don't know what's that stuff on you. You don't know. Then some of y'all been working in it for years. And somebody has to stop y'all. We had people come through here, and when they figure they can't steamroll in there, it's like, no, just relax, sit down. And they're hitting out the door. Why? They want to be seen, not used. They're looking for something to be seen. They like to play in the anointing and mess everything up. Oh, well, you know, if Anthony comes, and I know he wouldn't do this, he'll come and he'll say, you know, I know Pastor preaches kind of hard sometimes. And I know he'll be getting on you. But the Lord uses me to kind of soothe you. See, he going, but and that ain't right. See, that's power. You see the people coming in, now you want to do that. He can't handle that. And I'm telling you, greed and power is something the church has never been able to handle. That's why we can't go outside the four walls. Most people say, Lord, I'll cry before you. You give them power, they'll quit coming to church. You give people a little bit of money, and it tests your heart. That's why character has to be formed. Some of y'all, if you get a little bit of money, you start questioning stuff. I don't need to come to prayer on Saturday now. Mary Ellie got it. Shoot, they ain't letting me do anything anyway. I'll just go over here. Has power get to you? Some of y'all tell me right now, Pastor, I'm with you to the end. Just do it. Because there'll come a time where you have to tell the difference. Because your God will rise up and you got to decide who you're going to serve. Easier said. A lot of churches start off like we are. But they don't finish because people get puffed up. They get puffed up. They think they know. God called you to a ministry. He started using you. Then all of a sudden you coming at me. Kelvin got to defend me because you saying, no, Pastor, he don't know, man. God, you getting upset at me because I'm telling you you're not ready yet. That means that you're not, your power get to you, can't handle it. You look at me, make a little mistake, and therefore you think you can capitalize. You know what your accusers always do? They'll bring up your mistakes. Critics. Well, y'all, they're in a storefront. They've been there all these years and they ain't moved out there yet. Pastor said he was going to do this and he didn't do it, so, you know, it's time for me to move on. Come up with a philosophy to justify them moving off into error. Instead of saying things like, you in error, you left. We've had people to do that. They come to church, couples. They come. I remember one particular couple, they came and he called, he told me, Pastor, I think, you know, he's telling me, you know, I think we got to be prepared before we go out. Oh, so you're the pastor now. You know what you need in order to do this. You already know. So you need to go find another church where you can do that. Why? Because you can't come to God and you know everything. Are you with me? If we will be teachable, God will use us in this last hour. But if you're not teachable, God ain't going to do nothing. Are you with me? You're teachable because you're under authority. When I'm under authority, and listen, you're talking to somebody that sat with a guy for almost 10 years, and I didn't even like the fella. But you learn how to serve because it's not the way I want it. You serve the steak when you're serving the way he wants it. You die to yourself. Joshua, get up. Notice that God said, the minister of Moses. He was a minister of Moses. Most of you are not prepared to be a minister because you know, in order for you to be a true son, you got to want to do what's in the heart of the father. Most of y'all, we think fatherhood is simply, let me go and get and gleam. You think it's mentorship. Fatherhood is different. Your life is hidden, your father. And you'll find out that God will connect everything else. You don't have a will. I'm here to do the will of the Father. So see, true son and daughtership is different. It's serious. But see, if you're not a person under authority, you're not going to hear that. You'll be out there one day, you'll be preaching there, and nothing will be. Y'all looking all over our city, people preaching and saying, they got 4 o'clock today, somebody going to be having a choir or concert. But it's dead. No movement. And people still doing it. Just because these good people, we go and say, oh, this was a good program. Never mind, in the same city, the same neighborhood, they're killing people. Drugs can go on. The devils are just saying, hey, y'all have a good time in church. Just don't come out of here and try to move me. Do you know what happens? Years go by, nobody addresses devils. You know why? The false church will not have authority in the realm of the spirit. They don't have no authority. So they start playing these little games like after school care. Free lunch. Because they got to stay active. These things are good now. But that's not the church. Anybody can do that. I want to see you take young people and begin to pull and put Christ in them and download Jesus in them and form in Christ in them somehow. Not just telling them some little story and telling them to go on. But see, if you're going to get into the now, you got to make sure you're a person under authority. You know, as I speak to you, I'm a person under authority. I don't do what I want to do. This is a governing church in a network with a father. So we're not just doing this. I just can't just go and say, well, I think I'll be a faith preacher. What's in the heart of the father? And that's how you ought to be. That's how God used government. When you ignore God's government, you're rebellious. You're doing your own thing. I don't need God. I don't need the ministry gifts. God shows me himself. You ever hear people say that? I know God for myself. Whatever. Watch them about to blunder. Because we all need each other. There's a body of Christ. Us together is what reveals Christ to the world. Not just me preaching. You need me, but guess what? I need you. We need Christ in the middle of us, forming us. Are you with me? Come on, let's stand to it. I got to make sure that you something new as we break into the now. Father, we thank you. We give you glory for what you're doing in and of and through us. And Father, we bless you for all that you're doing. Thank you for setting us free, healing us, delivering us. And Father, we give you all the glory for what you're doing. As we step into the now as Joshua did, Lord God, let our generation hear the cry of you, Lord God. And Father, we give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. While you